Bobby Bones, everybody.
Transmitting across America.
This is a Bobby Bones show.
Come on, Bobby.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Lots of stuff to talk about today. I did the Grand Ole Opry last night, some stand-up comedy there, kind of an eventful night. We'll talk about that later. I was reading this story, though, because I like steak. I try to cut back on the red meat, but I love a steak. Just for, when I eat red meat, it just stays on my stomach forever, it feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, takes a while to digest.
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I'm reading this thing about steak and how do you think most Americans like their steak? Like when they're like, hey, how would you like your steak?
Rare. Medium?
People like it medium well.
Okay, they just want to see a little red. A little pink? I don't know.
I like mine cooked.
I don't eat steak.
Like, and I'm someone that irritates the chef. And I'm like, listen, I'd love it well done. But when you do that, the chef gets mad sometimes. And one of the things will happen is, like, and sometimes work take me to nice restaurants where they don't even like to ask for A1. And I love A1.
Mm.
Like, put A1 on the best piece of meat ever. It makes it better. Like, take the finest piece of meat, like, and add A1 to it, and it's like, with A1.
You're crazy.
No, but.
So you want it well done and a sauce.
And a mwah.
So.
Okay.
Work will take me to these restaurants sometimes. And say, hey, how would you like your steak? And I say, I'd like it medium. And they'd say, well, the chef recommends it rare. And I'm like, why do I care what the chef recommends? He ain't my friend. He doesn't know me.
He doesn't know your palate.
Like, why? This is my thing with rare steaks. Why are we supposed to enjoy the steak closer to life? Like, we're supposed to enjoy eating the steak closer to when it's alive.
You mean like under, not cooked, you mean?
It's like they want us to eat the steak. As, yes.
Okay.
They want us to eat the steak as close to being alive as possible. Like, you should have it very, very rare.
Yeah, I think the steak is designed to be eaten rare.
It's a dumb idea.
And when
why
you,
not just go lick it in the back a lot?
When you cook,
no, it's like the chef recommends that Bessie in the back, he's alive. You just go lick
him. No. Oh my, no, no, you're taking it
too far. That's the rarest steak you can get. You want to talk about rare steaks?
Yeah, no,
I have a whole thing. I get really irritated when the waiter's like, but the chef recommends. Here's what I recommend. Give me my meat A1 sauce. That's what I recommend.
Ugh, it's a disgrace.
Oh, you're that guy?
Oh, yeah. In my household, my wife likes it well done like you, and I will refuse to cook it well done.
Oh, come on.
I will.
Oh,
I'm
you're
like,
the guy.
No.
And that's the way you stand
up.
I
am the chef.
You make her go lick the cow. It's like, yeah. It's like, I also like a piece of cheesecake. Well, the chef recommends that you go milk Bessie and make your own cheesecake. Like, shut up with you. That's stupid. I hate restaurants that have snobbiness to them.
Oh, okay. We just know better than what you think you know.
Oh, you know better.
We know way more.
Whatever. What is that called when you eat a rare steak?
Stupid.
Tartar.
Yeah, tartar sauce. Yeah.
Bobby Bones. Bobby Bones.
Come on.
Recognizing people, doing cool things.
It's ICU.
How about this one? Officer Nyron Janison was called to make an arrest for a man who was trying to steal a collared shirt and a tie from Walmart. And so the officer's called in. And he was trying to steal the clothing because he wanted to get a job interview.
Oh, man.
I know. He didn't have the money to afford it. So he didn't arrest him. He bought him the clothes and was like, if you need anything, let me know. I'll take you there. Here's the shirt and tie. Like, I'm just here to try to help.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. I mean, that's really, really, really like extending that grace and getting on his level. I hope he follows up with him.
Yeah.
Helps him get a job.
That's a good one. I see you.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
It's producer Raymond, legendary country music singer Glenn Campbell passed away at the age of 81. He had a long battle with Alzheimer's. In lottery news, both the Mega Millions and the Powerball prizes have topped $300 million for the first time ever. The Mega Millions drawing was last night. Tonight is the Powerball. And finally, in weather news, Franklin may make a second landfall in Mexico in the next day as a hurricane. The U.S. will not be affected.
The Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones Show.
They listed out the 5 most expensive TV shows Netflix has made so far. Some of these I've never seen. The number one most expensive show is The Crown.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. It's pretty elaborate, and it's so good.
I guess because it's royal family and jewels and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to
costumes, like the dresses, the everything.
The jewels are expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the crowns. I think that the costumes for that have got to be pretty
legit. Use no fake jewels.
Yeah.
It costs $130 million for a season.
Oh.
Wait, excuse me?
Yeah. And they have to rent out Buckingham Palace and stuff.
Yeah, dude, they got to like rent the queen. How much for the queen for 30 hours? Number two is The Get Down. I haven't seen The Crown or The Get Down. It costs $120 million, and they canceled after one season.
Oh, oh man. Yes. Big mistake.
That's a big loss.
Number three was Sense8. It was about $9 million per episode. And I watched the first season and really enjoyed it, but I think they're stopping making it. I think they're making a finale. It's weird.
I never heard
really?
Of it.
It's really weird. Yeah. It's like Matrix on steroids, but super weirder.
Oh.
Marco Polo. Anybody watch that? Oh, I saw the preview on Netflix come out. Like, Marco Polo, watch it.
No, I haven't seen it.
And I was like, nah, Fuller House.
No.
It cost $90 million. Do you know what the first ever Netflix original show was? Because it makes the list. The first ever Netflix original show.
House Ooh. Of Cards?
Yeah.
Wow.
Good job,
Good
Amy.
Good job, Amy.
$50 million bucks for its first season. But so they've done a bunch of seasons now. I'm not even caught up on this last season. Except I watch it all the time on Fox News and CNN. So that's it, right? Is that the same show?
Same thing. Oh. Same storyline.
But those are the top five most expensive Netflix shows.
Well,
yeah.
I can't believe that Get Down or whatever, they spent that much money on it, got canceled.
Then
right
it got canceled.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. It's like our show with the opposite. Like, they paid no money and we stay on forever.
Yeah. The Bobby Bones Show.
All right, you tell me something good. Go around the room with positivity. It's like show and tell back in like second grade. But we do it with positive news stories.
Tell me something good.
A 10-year-old girl saved from a kidnapper after her dog attacked the assailant. Police in Virginia, where the attack happened, said that during the attack, the dog bit the man who released her and fled. The girl, like a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, excuse me, was walking her dog, and a man grabbed her arm and started trying to pull her away, and the dog bit the guy.
Wow.
And wouldn't let go.
Awesome.
And then when he let go, the dog stopped.
Shout out that dog.
Yeah, I mean, like,
that's
I just wonder what, like, really what a dog thinks on if a dog has, like...
Oh, I've often wondered how my dog would react. Like, would she really protect me?
Yeah, mine would. Mine would be like, where's the squirrel? What do you have over there, Amy?
Well, mine has to do with dogs, too, and the World Dog Surfing Championship. I gotta go to one of these. It all benefits local animal shelters in California, and dogs surfed with their owners, or they surfed by themselves, or they did a double dip with another dog and surfed.
That sounds insane. It's like insanely awesome.
No, like, I need to go to one of these surfing competitions with dogs.
Lunchbox?
Firefighters gotta eat, so they're at the grocery store doing some shopping. They got some steaks, some mashed potatoes, things like that. Then they get a call. We need a blah, blah, blah. I don't know the code for a blah, blah, blah. So they had to leave, left their basket. Someone paid for the basket and delivered their groceries to the firehouse.
Wow.
What up?
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. So they saved lives, did their thing, and they got to eat.
I used to work at a store, and the code for that is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
it so was
he
a
nailed
it.
He nailed it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Coming up, we're getting an update on Amy and her kids. We actually have a message from one of her kids. You know, Amy's been trying to adopt for the past 4.5 years. You have adopted. They're just not here yet. We're waiting.
Yeah.
But an update coming up in just the next half hour or so. But I bring that up because this child care center is saying, hey, make your kids take naps outside. Have you seen this story?
Outside? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, quote, phenomenal statistics show that sleeping in fresh air fights illness. I can totally see hippie Amy doing this.
Yeah.
It's like making our kids, all right, kids, time for a nap. Go in the backyard.
Okay, but see, that you laugh, but my kids already sleep outside.
Kind of.
For nap time, they go out to the porch and they sleep on the porch.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Maybe they're onto something down there in Haiti. They already know what's up.
But are you going to make them?
Maybe. I could see how kind of being one with nature during nap time could be awesome.
Little Learners Daycare tracked the number of absent kids over 11 weeks. Fewer than 1% of the children were absent due to illness. They say it's because direct result of time spent outdoors and even nap time outdoors. There's been a significant improvement in their cognitive attentiveness, alertness, awareness. And they're like, there's a difference because when they were sleeping inside, it wasn't happening.
Awesome. We need all that stuff.
I didn't just go to bed at night outside my backyard.
Should we nap outside?
Yeah.
For cognitive awareness?
Like, chill in the house all day, put a tent outside at night, and just go to bed.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes from Sioux City, Iowa. A 33-year-old man was broke, needed some money, so he's like, let me see, what can I do? I'll print out a $1 million bill and take it to the bank and try to deposit it.
Interesting concept.
So he went into the bank, said, I'd like to deposit this $1 million bill.
And I'm sure they accepted it and he had $1 million, right?
No, unfortunately, they called the cops and arrested him for forgery.
$1 million bill. I mean, can't hate on him for trying.
Yeah.
He probably... wonder what that bill looked like. I wonder if it was like a big piece, a full piece of paper. Like it was so big. Like, here's my $1 million bill.
Go big or go home.
I agree with that.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
What's the latest with your kids?
Well, no update other than that we're just still waiting, but we're communicating with them and telling them, you know, it'll be soon. They're definitely asking.
All right. So Amy has adopted two kids. We're just waiting for them to get to America.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So now they are asking.
Yeah, they ask. Not every time that we talk with them. And really, we just go back and forth with audio messages on WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. And it's an easy way to communicate and send texts and messages in other countries anyway. And yeah, so we just do that. And one of their questions the other day was definitely, when are you coming? Which is, when are you coming to get us? Because they know, we've explained, we're not coming back till it's time to bring y'all home.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah. Sometimes my husband talks to them in such a way that's like very adult, which I guess is good because they're older, but I'm like, kind of bring it down to the kid notch. He's like, he'll be like, you know, he'll be recording his audio message and he'll be like, as we explained, you know, we're not going to be coming back till 0800, you know.
Oh, I mean, military time.
Like,
wow.
Gets all, I'm like, whoa, these are kids. Like, just be like, hey guys, we miss y'all. We hope that we're coming soon.
What's the message I have here?
Oh, well, I pulled this message because I died laughing when we got it because we had been, like I said, sending a lot of messages back and forth and I was getting a lot of love. Like, it was very mom-centered stuff. Like, mom this, mom that, mom. And so my husband was kind of like, okay, fine, I see how it is, kids. And then we got this message from our daughter.
Don't be jealous, Dad. I love you, too.
Mommy jealous, Dad, I love you, too.
There he goes, don't be, she goes, oh. I know, it's her voice is very deep. She goes, don't be jealous, Dad.
I don't think her voice deep is what I couldn't understand. I think it's the accent, right?
Yeah, okay. It is the accent.
Yeah. Don't be jealous, Dad, we love you, too.
Okay.
Don't be jealous, Dad. I love you too.
So cute. That's funny.
And so, I mean, you want to talk about making his day? He was like, okay, I'm over it. They can talk all the mom stuff I want because that was like the cutest thing I've ever received.
Don't be jealous.
Don't be jealous, Dad. I love you too.
That's really funny.
I know. And look how good her English sounds.
Pretty good.
If you're new to the show, it's been 4.5 years. Amy has been in the adoption process. She tried to have kids, still, I guess, is not trying, but you're not trying.
Yeah.
And tried to adopt domestically and kept moving around. And so that kept getting put back. And she went on a mission trip to Haiti. And on that mission trip, she went during a women's conference and went to an orphanage and found these kids. And at the time, they were how old?
2.5 and 5.5.
So add 4.5 years to that, and that's how old they are now. Mm-hmm. And in a month or in 6 months, you can get them.
Okay, so my son turns 7 this month. Just looked at a calendar.
And you get them anytime.
I mean,
but even in the long term, you get them tomorrow or in 8 months.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be tomorrow, but I definitely, you know, I'm siding with what my agency told me, and they really feel like September could be the golden month, October at the latest.
Boy, we've heard this a lot.
I know, you know, but I'm just keeping that hope out there. Why not?
Thank you for the update.
Yeah.
Don't be jealous, Dad. I love you too. Get your bones
on Bobby Bones Show. Amy's got a new blog up at bobbybones.com. What kind of concoction is up there now?
Ooh, mint chocolate chip. That's my favorite.
Mint chocolate chip what?
Smoothie.
Oh.
Duh.
She just told me it's a cookie.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No, my favorite kind of ice cream is mint chocolate chip. And I even tried to make mint chocolate chip ice cream out using cauliflower, my own concoction. It was a disaster. But I found the smoothie recipe. It nailed it. And I was like, I should just go to other people that are professional. So I borrowed the recipe, put it on my blog. It's all up there. And it's so yummy.
Bobbybones.com. There's a mint chocolate chip smoothie made of
What?
There's cauliflower?
No, there's no. That I was trying to make cauliflower ice cream taste like that chocolate chip. But the smoothie's way better, so go this route. It's so good and good for you.
Okay.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Played the Grand Ole Opry last night, not as a musical artist, but I did stand up, and it was the first time in many years I've had a stand up comedian, so I didn't feel pressure. It was one of those moments, though, where I enjoy being uncomfortable. Like, I like awkwardness. I like being uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable last night before I walked out. I would say I had butterflies, but I had a butterfly.
Oh, just one.
Yeah, because I wasn't freaked out because I've been doing stand up for a while, and I know I'm pretty good at it. I'm not really good at it, but I know I'm pretty good at it. And if I could just get into my zone, which takes a second, because you walk out on the Grand Ole Opry stage and it's all ages from all over the country. A small percentage know who you are, most don't. And it's like, okay, funny man, you have 12 minutes.
See what you got.
Yeah, and it's not like when I do an hour set, you can work things. It's just like, hey, funny man, go ahead. So I like being uncomfortable, and I like being a little nervous because, like I always say, if you're nervous, it's important. Sometimes it's bad. But most of the times, if you're nervous, it's good.
Yeah.
And if you're nervous, it's important. Give me a job interview. And last night, I got a little nervous. It's just like, I don't want to screw it up. Because it's not that I wanted to prove people wrong. I just wanted to prove a couple people right for booking me as the first comedian to do the Opry in forever. Because people took big risks on me. And they were like, hey, we want you to come in. So I was like, man, I got to prove them right. So I go out. And what happened was, and this isn't bad for me, but it does put a wrinkle on the situation, is Glenn Campbell dies yesterday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the most sacred country music place in the entire world, not to play music, where I can switch up the set and do a sad song or a tribute, to tell jokes. So again, think about me. Here I go. Okay, funny man. But by the way, an icon of country music has just died, and you're going to tell jokes at the most famous country music place in the whole world.
Where likely other musical guests that night will
all
be
night
paying
long.
Tribute.
All night long, they've been paying
and then,
tribute.
Yeah, that is a wrinkle.
It was a wrinkle, right? And so, an added wrinkle. So for me, I'm like, man, what do I do? So I got up and I led with my only Glenn Campbell story. He's from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I told a story. I don't know if I can tell. I mean, I can tell on the radio, right?
I mean, I don't know.
Did anybody listen, like, on the radio or on Opry.com or anything?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
Good answer, guys.
I guess I should.
No, you may not have known.
Doing that. No, I didn't know.
My girlfriend did, Lindsay. And the thing for her, I was like, don't listen because she's playing the Today Show today. So she had to be up at, like, 2 in the morning, and she's on East Coast time. And she was FaceTiming me afterward. I was like, why did you stay up? And she was like, I wanted to hear you.
Yeah.
And so I got up, and I'll talk about Glenn Campbell later. And again, when you're from Arkansas, people from Arkansas mean more to you. It's much like if you're from a small town and somebody makes it out, you really. And so it's like the Conway Twitties, the Johnny Cashes, the Glenn Campbells, the Arkansas my grandma made me listen to. I grew to respect it over time, but when I was little, I was like, what's happening? Why am I listening to this?
Yeah.
I'm 7, Grandma.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in first grade, and you want to hear? I'm listening to Gentle on My Mind, Grandma.
That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory.
So I get up and I tell the story. The one time I met Glenn Campbell, I said I went up to Mr. Campbell, and I was a fan because of where he was from, Delight, Arkansas. Spelled Delight, but Delight, Arkansas. I know it well. Played a lot of ball around there, and it was years ago. It's very old. He'd already been suffering a bit. And I went up to Glenn Campbell. There was a line of people, so it was one of those quick things, but I just wanted to say hello. And I said, Mr. Campbell, my name is Bobby Bones, and I would just like to say hello. I'm also from a small town in Arkansas, and I just would like to say that I admire you, and my grandma was a huge fan, and just wanted to say what was in my heart. And he looked at me and he said, you're the guy that says the crazy things, aren't you? And I was like, I am, I guess. Yes, sir. And he said, you know what? It's okay being crazy. He said, not kidding. He said, they used to tell me I was as crazy as a two-peckered goat. And I was like, and I laughed. And I'd never heard the term, excuse me, two-peckered billy goat.
Oh.
I'd never heard the term two-peckered billy goat before. That means a billy goat with two wieners.
Yeah, I get it.
And he said, stay crazy. And I was like, and what do you say to somebody who compares himself to a two-peckered billy goat? And I said, what you would say back to that, I said, that's pretty crazy, Mr. Campbell. And I shook his hand and I walked off. And I never told that story. Actually, I forgot it. And then as I was driving to the Opry last night, I remembered it. And I got up and that's what I led with. Wasn't a joke I'd written. And I was just like, if I don't tell the story, this is the only time that I can tell it and pay my respect to someone who affected my grandmother, which affected me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a two-peckered billy goat story, but it's a human story.
Yeah, and he was funny himself. I mean, that's how you start your stand-up.
And that's what I did, and that's how I started it last night.
That's awesome.
And it wasn't exactly how I planned it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in life is. Holy cow. But rest in peace, Glenn Campbell. I will talk about that later, but that's how I started my Opry comedy debut last night. I felt like I don't know if it's good like that, but
starting it that way?
Yeah. Oh, and I don't know how it came across. I don't know if I said the words exactly right, but that's the story. I just wanted to retell it again this morning. But
I like
crazy.
It.
Yeah. He was like, people used to tell me I was crazy as a two-peckered billy goat. I'd never heard that term before. I just wanted to go and say hi.
I wonder how many people had told him that, you know? Because people's plural. I'm like, is that that's a thing that multiple people say?
Mm. Rest in peace, Glenn Campbell. You're one of a kind. And I'll tell you why later, Amy, why he was so amazing. Not just the country music stuff. The stuff before that. But, okay. Thank you.
Get your balls on. This is a Bobby Bones show.
Hey.
There was this van driving around town in Virginia. There was no driver. And people were seeing this van drive around with no driver, and they were like, oh, my goodness. So the news decided to follow the van, and they're watching inside of this. Found out as they approached the car, the van was actually being driven by someone dressed as a seat.
Oh, what?
Father, who are you? What are you doing? I'm with the news, dude. Dude, can you pull over and we can talk for a second?
But there was no pulling over. The driver actually ran a red light to get away.
They didn't want to be found out that the driverless van was actually someone dressed as a seat.
That's so bizarre.
Hilarious.
Virginia Tech, their transportation institute, just gave me a call to say that this is their vehicle, and they disguised the driver to gauge real-world reaction. Well, obviously, our reaction was to follow this vehicle, and I was very surprised to see half a man sticking out.
Isn't that funny? Like, I'm glad nobody got hit with the red light thing.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do that. That's bad. Bad. Yeah, bad.
Bad.
But the rest's funny. Like, there's a van. Somebody dresses a seat. Come on.
I thought you were going to say, like, some little kid was down low. Like, you just couldn't see his head, but nope.
There's a dead body that fell out of a coroner's van into traffic in Washington.
No.
Dude, imagine if you're behind this van.
No.
And you're like, da-da-da. Oh, there's a van. That's a coroner. Oh, my God.
How in the world?
Police say a gurney holding a dead body fell from the back of a coroner's van in traffic. The Olympian, which the paper reports the van was heading back to the county coroner's office Monday. Two gurneys fell out of the van. The gurney holding the deceased person was found in the intersection.
Mm.
The second gurney rolled down the street was found in the parking lot. Empty gurney. But there was a dude. There.
Oh,
now, do you get out and help with that situation?
Nah, they got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably leave that one alone.
I think they got it figured out.
I think I just go slowly swerve around it and hope somebody else takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you see a big trash bag in the road and you miss it in a highway. Like, you're not going to stop because you may get hit.
Exactly.
And you're like, somebody's either going to hit this or they're going to take care of it, but it ain't going to be me. Somebody else will.
Right.
Oh, just imagine that body. Doo-doom-doom-doom. Oh, comes rolling out of that. Talking about this corner van. Had a dead body in it, and in traffic, the doors open and the dead body goes rolling out. Boop, boop. There it is. Hey, Joe in Springdale, Arkansas.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Tell me your story.
When I was about 19 years old, I used to help out at a funeral home, and I would go to the hospitals and get bodies out of the morgue. And the first trip I'd ever made to Fayetteville in my life, I picked up a body and started down the street, and I went through about three or four stoplights, and normally every time I hit the brakes at a stoplight or went to stop, the stretcher would roll forward and hit the seat. And I noticed this guy wasn't rolling forward, and I thought, man, he's riding like a champ. And I got out on the edge of Fayetteville, and a cop pulled me over and started screaming at me and told me to get around there. And I had no idea what was going on. And I walked around the back of the station wagon. And when I put the body in, I pulled the tailgate up, and you could lower the glass down from the dash in the front in the driver's seat. So I lowered the glass down, and I didn't realize he wasn't far enough in to clear, and his toes were hanging out the back of the hearse.
Oh, no. It's the dead body's feet were just chilling?
Yeah, and the toe tag was flopping in the breeze, and the sheet was waving in the breeze.
And it was a hearse. Like, it was a dead person car. Like, the whole thing was there.
Yeah.
That seems like something from Jackass, the TV show.
Yeah, and the cop was, thought I'd done it on purpose or something. He was yelling at me. He told me to get out of Fayetteville and never come back.
Wow. Dang. What a story. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Thanks for that story. Holy cow. Hey, Lunchbox got recognized by John Party last night. He came up to you, huh?
Yeah, I was at the John Mayer show, and he was like, hey, Lunchbox. I turned around, John Party. I was like, get that guy a Snickers.
Did you say that?
I did.
Oh, boy. Were you excited he recognized you?
I was like, man, hey, celebrity recognized I'm a celebrity.
Did you see a lot of people at the show last night?
Oh, man, there were so many people there. It was packed.
No, not people. Like,
like country artists.
I know it's packed. It was a sold-out show at an arena.
Oh.
Yeah, like celebrities.
John Party was the only celebrity I saw besides myself when I looked in the mirror.
But he saw lots of other people.
Right.
It was packed. John Mayer had a lot of people there.
He saw a lot of humans.
Yes, but John Party recognized me. I thought that was pretty cool that he came up to me and was like, how's it going, Lunch?
He have his cowboy hat on or no?
No cowboy hat, but he had, let me tell you, he had an entourage with him.
Are you talking code?
Like,
you
lots of hot girls?
Beautiful women.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There were some good-looking girls around him. I was like, okay.
Were they all for him, or was it like a group?
There was a couple other people with him, but the girls definitely outnumbered the guys. So I was like, John Party's got his pick of the litter.
Oh, my gosh.
Props to him.
I bet Lunch is just like, that's life goals right there. Life goals.
Yeah, he said probably said that to his wife. Even with his wife.
You haven't lived that life.
Yes, I have.
I've known you for 15 years. You never had a bunch of girls at one time, and you were just like, look at me.
Yes, I had my pick of the litter for whenever I wanted it.
Oh, boy.
I did. I could walk into a bar and put my hand up, and they would come.
Who?
The girls.
Any girl you wanted.
Any girl I wanted.
Yeah, but back when you used to, like, you were single and you said this stuff, we used to be like, any girls, call in if you've ever been this girl. And, like,
nobody would call.
Maybe they don't want their name out in public.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The rule has been no. You sent me the picture.
I can't believe that you would do that, Eddie.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, why are you acting like...
I mean, all this starts is the precedent of all of us taking pictures of everyone and throwing everyone under the bus.
No, what starts is you guys ruin the studio floor by eating in here. So if you eat in the studio, it's a $20 fine.
Oh, Eddie!
I have a picture of you, Eddie, eating in the studio.
What
so
are you eating?
Who knows?
Yeah, and Lunchbox, golly, old tattletale.
No,
yeah.
Look, I'm just a rule follower. I get blamed for everything, and so I just wanted to show that if something happens, it's not me. I'm following the rules, and hey, when you break the rules, you get told on.
$20 fine for now on any eating in the studio.
Oh,
great.
Eddie's got the morning corny coming up in about 2 minutes, so brace yourself.
Yeah!
For Eddie's morning corny. Bobby
Bones. Here we go. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood.
Amy's 30 Second Skinny.
Can y'all believe it's been 25 years since Pure Country?
Yeah, it seems like longer than that.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not great, but it does seem like that. It even looks dated.
Yeah, it looks old.
Yeah.
That's with George Strait, by the way. If you haven't seen that movie, Dusty, you guys need to check it out. And George Strait, you know, he's been promoting it. And one of the things he's done is made like a PSA for how to behave while watching movies. And he has this commercial out that if you talk or text during a movie, you're disappointing George Strait. Like, he's like trying to act like he's watching a movie, and then his cell phone rings, and it's super cute.
Oh, George in that comedy.
I know. The mansion from the Beverly Hillbillies TV show in the 60s is on the market for $350 million.
It still exists?
It still exists. And get this, this was only used for exterior shots. $350 million.
They never shoot inside the real houses. Like, even Full House. Or that's never a thing.
Stop
Amy.
It.
Amy. They never shoot in the houses.
You're being
it's
serious.
It's like on a set, I guess.
Yeah,
they trick us.
But I had no idea the house still was up. Yeah. That's crazy to me.
It has a ballroom, a wine cellar, a 40-car garage, tennis court, pool, and a guest house.
Wow.
Yeah. Anybody?
Well, I mean, the money's out. There's no way, but so I'm surprised it's up.
The Beverly Hillbillies, 1960s. I'm Amy. That's your 30-second skinny.
Last night at the Opry, I sang Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. And it's pretty moving.
Was it well-received?
I think so. Crowd was crying.
Oh, because they all just wanted Chick-fil-A.
Huh. Yeah, they did laugh at my Chick-fil-A. I have a setup I do for it with jokes. And then they did laugh. I was surprised. Because you just never know. Because not everybody has Chick-fil-A.
Oh, that's a good point, too. And they're all, you never know where these people are from.
Yeah.
The Opry.
I'm trying to beat this YouTube kid in downloads, and I can't. It's on iTunes, but they're mentioning the words comedy Grammy for this song. Wow. No, Grammy, not Grammy. Yeah, Grammy.
Yeah, gotta go big.
I'm not mentioning it. Other people are mentioning it to me. Like, okay. This song can win the comedy Grammy. It's just a real-life song about Chick-fil-A on Sunday.
And now the newest song from Bobby Bones and the Raging Idiots, Chick-fil-A, But It's Sunday.
Yeah, and it's recorded live.
Someone asked me earlier to play the Chick-fil-A song, so this is for you guys.
I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I want the fries and a little waffle, but now I'm feeling awful. I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. Yeah, the one day that you aren't open is the one day that I was hoping to get Chick-fil-A, yeah, yeah, yeah. To get Chick-fil-A, yeah. I yell hello through the drive-thru, hello. Nobody answers me back. I look around for all the other cars. Where the heck is everyone at? I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I want the fries and a meal waffle. Now I'm feeling awful. I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. Yeah, the one day that you aren't open is the one day that I was hoping to get Chick-fil-A. Yeah, yeah, yeah. To get Chick-fil-A. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I want the fries and a little waffle, but now I'm feeling awful. I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. Yeah, the one day that you aren't open is the one day that I was hoping.
It's Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is us playing it. This is the Instagram video.
I want Chick-fil-A.
Rock and roll, baby.
I want the fries and a little waffle. But now I'm feeling awful. I want Chick-fil-A.
Man.
Go.
Download Chick-fil-A, But It's Sunday from Bobby Bones and the Raging Idiots on iTunes now.
Bobby Bones, everybody.
Transmitting across America.
This is a Bobby Bones show.
Come on, Bobby.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Before we get to the morning corny, breaking news from Josh in Bakersfield, California. Josh, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bobby.
Something big's happening in your life right now. Please share with us.
Yeah, my girlfriend's in labor right now.
And you are?
Father for the first time.
On the way to the hospital?
Yes, I am on my way to the hospital right now.
Why do I not hear like a little more frantic in your voice? Like, what's the deal? Come on, Josh, talk to me.
Yeah, trying to keep it cool, driving the speed limit, slow, smooth.
Is she in the car with you right now?
No, she was staying at her parents' house because they only live a couple of minutes away from the hospital, whereas I live about 45 minutes away.
Hmm. How do you feel? Like, what's going through your head right now? You're about to be a dad for the first time in your life.
Yeah, kind of nervous. I'm kind of scared to see her in so much pain. That's going to be weird.
Are you going to watch the baby come out?
I haven't really decided that yet.
Better get to deciding, bro.
Yeah. The time is now.
Yeah.
Or she may not even want him to. What does she want?
Yeah, I think she wants to. We talked about possibly catching the baby, but I'm not sure, you know, how it's all going to go down now that it's actually time.
Do you know if it's a boy or girl?
Yeah, it's a boy. His name's Liam.
Attaboy. You named him after the guy on Oasis, right?
No.
Oh, dang.
Liam Hemsworth. No one particularly. I like to make the joke that I named him after Helium.
A terrible joke. Stop that joke. Don't do that joke.
Hey, that's good. I like it.
Terrible joke. Listen, I'm a professional joke teller. Terrible joke. Hey, that's awesome, though. Congratulations, Josh. I hope everything goes healthy. And call us. You know, it's Wednesday today, but Thursday, Friday, whenever, let us know how it goes. But I appreciate you calling us. It's a big day in your life, and you thought about us.
Yeah, sounds good. Hey, can I give a shout out to her mom real quick?
Yeah, of course.
Ginger Jones. I know she's probably the only one that's ever going to actually hear this. So I just wanted to say hi, and I'll see you soon, and I'm excited.
Why would she be the only one that would ever hear this? I believe more of your family should listen, my friend.
Oh, I agree. My mom listens, but she's not. She's retired now, so she's not usually in the car in the morning time.
Wake her up.
And then my girlfriend, she obviously isn't working right now, so she's not ever in the car in the morning either.
All seriousness, congratulations. Yeah. I hope it goes awesome, and thank you for calling, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Wow, look at that.
The Morning Corny.
Eddie's bringing it to us this morning, Eddie.
What did the fireman name his two kids?
What did the fireman name his two kids?
Jose and Hose B. You get it? Jose? Hose B.
But Hose B's not, like, Jose's a real name, but.
Oh, wow, she doesn't get it.
I mean,
you can't give it to her. She doesn't get it.
I get it. Hose. Jose.
Hose A.
Yeah.
And Hose B. They're
but
two
don't you
hoses.
Feel like that joke's been told 100 times forever?
I'd never heard it.
Really? That's why
never.
I said it back. I disrespected that joke, then. I'm very sorry.
Dang, I'd never heard that. I thought it was so funny when I first read it.
You messed up the delivery in the beginning.
He did mess up the delivery.
What did I say?
You 2 days in a row, Bobby has stolen the punchline.
If I know the punchline, it
yeah, but Bobby, we've told so many jokes at times a lot of listeners maybe don't.
And that was kind of racist, I'll be honest.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm Mexican. I can tell that joke.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, because
I have two
one
cousins named Jose.
Yeah, I have one that's really funny, but I can't say it.
Because it's racist? I guess.
Yeah, it
well,
is.
You guys can make jokes about, like, white people?
Yeah.
No.
I can't.
You know what? You have another one? I'm going to let you give another one right now.
Oh, gosh, no. I thought that was perfect.
Do you want mine? Since you can tell it.
Yes, go ahead.
I will. Since he can tell it. That's kind of racist. Okay, let's just.
He said he could tell it because
Amy,
he's Mexican.
Go do it.
I mean. A little bit.
I have to tell it to you in your ear, and then you could tell it.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
If it's not
do it.
If it's not good, Eddie, we're out.
All right.
So Amy's whispering it. Come on. She can't even tell it to him.
Come on.
Okay, she's whispering it to him. But we still know it came from Amy.
Right.
Homework.
Hey, what? Where do you think that first joke came from?
Oh, did it? Amy's feeding him Mexican jokes?
Is
Amy feeding him Mexican jokes? Okay, guys, this is not...
Not a 45-minute bit.
It says comeback essay.
A comeback essay.
Right, I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
The Morning Corny.
What did the Mexican say when his homework flew out the window? Comeback essay! That's Amy's joke, but I said it, so it's okay because I'm Mexican.
Yeah, but my family's from South Texas.
Morning Corny.
We, you know,
Amy's dad's fluent in Spanish.
Yeah, he's fluent in Spanish. I've got my family reunions. There's plenty. I was like, Dad, are we all related? He's like, basically.
Okay, can I do another one?
Okay. Is it Mexican?
Of course it is.
Okay.
The Morning Corny.
What do you get when you cross Speedy Gonzalez with a country singer? Arriba McIntyre.
That's a good one.
Always with the ethnic humor, huh? That's your thing?
Hey.
You have one more shot tomorrow.
That's three.
You keep it.
All right. All right. All right. Mr. Bobby
Bones. I had a good day yesterday. John Mayer came in. It was well received. And that's two different things. Like, he came in and I was just going to like that. And then it was very well received by our listeners, which I'm not surprised by, but I'm happy with because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I just didn't know because we spent a lot of time talking. And so John Mayer was here.
Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood?
And Lunchbox ended up going to the concert last night.
Oh, man.
And forever, I've been a John Mayer lover. I mean, since his first record. He's like, Garth Brooks and John Mayer have sat in that chair. There's only one more person to sit in that chair, and I'm done. David Letterman. Like, that's it. Two of my three are that's it. The Bobby Mount Rushmore only has three people. And two of the three are on. So I'm always like, hey, John Mayer's the greatest, greatest. Lunch always made fun of me. Like, always. Always made fun of me. Made me feel a little bit dumb. But you went last night. Give me your real review of the show.
I went last night, and I got to say, I apologize for all these years of making fun of you for liking John Mayer and his what I call girly music. That show was incredible. Like, watching him on stage and just seeing him perform and get into it. Like, Eddie says he plays the guitar. Eddie messes around with the guitar.
He tinkers.
Wow. Yeah. John Mayer plays the guitar.
It's like his arm.
It is amazing to just watch his hands go, and the crowd was into it. They stood up the whole time. It was an incredible show.
Isn't it like an experience? It's almost like church without Jesus.
So not church.
No, but church is in there. It's like an experience where you're all feeling the same passion at the same time. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not praying to John Mayer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But everybody in the room is like feeling that same swept up emotion. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? You know, maybe a little hyperbole because I love John Mayer so much. This is from Lunchbox's phone. Do you do anything funny here or did you just record the song?
No, I was just recording the song, just telling you how good he sounds. I mean, and the crowd just being into it. And he did a little cover. I mean, he did a cover of Free Fallin'.
He did it on a record, too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't listen to John Mayer.
It's great, though, right?
Great. And some of his songs are deep, man. There was this one about changing. Woo!
Yeah, it's good. We're changing. Which one?
He was talking about, I'm not done changing, you know. Like,
I'm not done changing. Heaven and life changing.
Oh, man. I was that like, one? That's a deep song. Yeah.
Did he do Waiting on the World to Change?
Oh, yeah.
Because he hates doing that song.
No, he didn't do it.
Oh, man.
I think he did. Yeah. I bet he did.
Oh, that's that one. Oh,
like, yeah. You gave it to me and then you didn't know he did it.
Probably you're talking about Bodies in Wonderland.
Yeah, I mean, I
did
him
do your Bodies in Wonderland.
No, he didn't do that one.
Thank God he did
Gravity.
Oh,
and he did.
That's his favorite one.
What else did he do that I knew? I mean, there was a couple that I was like, oh, I know this one.
Yeah,
he did the one about the getting stoned or whatever. I know
Who
that
says
one.
Says you can't get stoned?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he didn't do the shampoo one though.
What?
I don't believe you because you didn't know he did. This
no, he
one.
Didn't do the shampoo one.
Okay, whatever. I have a story for you. The police in South Carolina have asked people not to shoot Bigfoot. They're like, seriously, don't shoot Bigfoot. Because they're worried that if it's real, people are seeing it, that people are going to shoot it. There's a Bigfoot sighting in Western North Carolina on Friday. The police in South Carolina put out the message, if you see Bigfoot, don't shoot him. The police wrote on their Facebook page, do not shoot it. Because if it's Bigfoot, well, that stinks. And if it's not Bigfoot, you just shot somebody in a gorilla costume.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not good.
So they're like, don't shoot Bigfoot. Either way, it's a loss.
That makes sense. I was thinking we want to keep him and like look at him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things. The other is it might just be an idiot in a gorilla costume. So shout out. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to bring in Brandon Ray. I think this guy is A-plus talent. He's got this song that Keith Urban and Ross Copperman produced, and Keith Urban sings background on it. Brandon Ray tomorrow. I'd like to give you the new artist. This is Ends of the Earth from Brandon Ray.
10,000 miles on gravel roads, hitchhiking my way through Mexico. Red eye straight through 20 time zones, all alone. Just to feel you breathe, just to see you smile, just to hold your hand for a little while. I go to the ends of the earth for you, to the moon and back like it ain't nothing new. When I got my arms wrapped around you, girl, it's like I'm holding the whole wide world. You're the closest thing to heaven, this side of that sunsetting. And I won't stop till I've been to the ends of the earth for you.
Brandon Ray, and I'm having him in tomorrow. He's an unsigned artist. I think he's phenomenal. I've been able to see him play and play beside him, and he's just awesome. And that bass, too, boom, boom, that's Keith Urban playing bass, too. Like, that's how good he is. Keith Urban's like, gotta have him. So I want him to come in tomorrow.
I love watching bass players these days. Those that come in, they just look so chill when they're doing it. They're just like, their wrist is all down, and they just boom, boom, boom. Like, yeah. They're my favorite people to watch now.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's like
you would like
thing.
Our bass player in the Raging Idiots,
Ryan. I know I've watched her.
She is tiny.
She's a beast,
and
though.
and everybody's like, "You have a female bass player? That's so cool!" And they watch her. She's amazing.
I also like Mira Morris's bass player. She's a female. Mm-hmm.
Boom, and when she came in, I was talking to her. I was like, I had a whole side talk.
They rock out. I mean, they're like subtle rock out. They're like,
and I love, and you know, my girlfriend plays lead guitar as a female. I love females that like bend the rules. Mm. And the rules are you need to be man to play. Shut up with that.
Yeah.
Shut up with your wiener rules.
Exactly.
Is that what they're called?
That's what I call them.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
What'd you do yesterday? Are you mad at me still?
No, I'm not. I never said I was mad. I never, ever, ever said I was mad. I said that you confuse me sometimes.
Go ahead.
And, well, okay. So we were all invited to the Opry.
Last night, I did stand-up comedy at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes. And about a week ago, it was like, hey, who wants to come?
Make sure. Not from me.
Okay. Well, maybe you need to be more in the loop of what's going on and who's inviting you to things or inviting people to things regarding you, because it was very awkward, and I'm sure it was awkward for whoever had to handle it, but it went from like yesterday morning, hey, your names are on the backstage list, here's everything, the time you need to be there. My whole day was like pretty much scheduled around, okay, like gotta get show prep done, get a nap in so I can be there because it goes on at 8:45. All this stuff. And then next thing I know, there's like a few hours after that email, there's another email that's like, because y'all are so special to Bobby, he doesn't want you there.
What in the world?
Did you guys all get that email?
Yes. What a weird email.
I mean, and I felt, I know.
Did Mary Ford send it?
Yeah, and I know that she's the sweetest, and I know that it was probably
I know, it was directly
from
me.
I know, okay.
But
I'm sure, but here's the thing.
Go ahead.
I'm not mad.
Okay.
But it's like, if you don't want to, like, as your friends, we wanted to be there to support you, and we're not going to judge you if you mess up and if you're nervous. I get it. But there was, like, other people that were there where I was like...
No, there was nobody...
No, I guess Mike D was there.
That's true.
Stop. I really am... Okay, maybe I'm a little irritated.
Go ahead.
Because it's like, we're going to go, and we want to support you, and then... I mean, to be honest, it was kind of nice to not have to be out till, you know, 9:30. That part was cool. But, so we're off the hook there. But at the same time, I was like, God, if you didn't want us to go, just note, tell your people that from the beginning so that we're not invited and we're not planning on it. And then we don't have to get a note from them and not from you. Like, I felt like I was excited to go and I would support you as a friend. Like, if you genuinely didn't want me to go, I would feel like you should have told me. Hey, because I even said last night, yesterday when I was leaving work, hey, I'll see you tonight. You could have come out.
I meant.
Okay. What? You didn't know what that meant? You're at the Okay,
here's
stop.
Here's the truth. I always say, I don't want you guys having to come to my stuff. And it was at 8:30. Mike D came because he wrote the Chick-fil-A song with me. And I was like, hey, dude, come watch your song get played at the Opry.
Okay.
And I told everybody not to come. I told Rod not to come, our boss.
I know, we were all on the same email. We all got told not to come.
I said, I don't want anybody coming.
Nobody was making us.
That's why I don't like birthday parties. That's why I don't like events about me. I don't like things about me. I don't want everybody having to do things for me.
Okay.
So I was like, just tell everybody not to come.
Okay.
Then why say that we're so special that we don't want to?
Yeah, like,
that was,
That's not my line.
That was clearly her line.
I expect that everything she says comes from you.
No, she's very nice.
False?
No,
by the way, she is like my manager, right? Like she manages like all my career stuff. And I talked to her. I said, hey, I don't want anybody to feel like they have to come. Matter of fact, they can come the second time, but I don't want anybody coming the first time because one, I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what the crowd's going to be like. I don't know. There were like three people there. One was Mike D because he wrote the song with me that I played.
That makes sense.
So.
But I feel like, I don't know. I'm not saying.
Your feelings are hurt. I'm sorry, but I wanted nobody to come.
I respect your decision. I think it was just the way it was handled.
Well, then I'll make sure that she hears it.
No, it's not her fault.
Yeah.
Hey, I was glad you disinvited us because then I didn't feel bad going to mayor. So.
See?
It was cool.
Most people felt that way. That's why.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. Amy's still mad at me. Look at her.
No, I'm not mad.
She's salty over there.
No, I'm not mad. It just,
I'm sorry it hurt your feelings. I'm sorry
it
hurt your feelings.
No, it didn't hurt my feelings. It's about you, but it's the fact that you don't think that we're not all close enough to where it would be an issue if you truly was just didn't want us there because you thought you were going to mess up and you were nervous. Okay, I have to respect that. But at the same time, I'm like, we're close enough to where we're not going to judge you for that.
I didn't want,
something special.
I did stand up at the Opry last night and I did not know how it was going to go. And if it did not go well, I would have been embarrassed. And two, I just don't like people celebrating me. I don't like that feeling. I just don't.
Okay, I don't think we were going to celebrate you. We were going to support you.
It feels the same. I don't like me things.
Like, I'm trying to think of something cool in my life that if you wanted to be at, that I would say, nah, don't come.
Honestly, you have much more depth as a person that you can accept love. I have trouble with that.
Okay. Okay, I know that, and I should know that. And that's why I'm like, okay, that's why when deep down when I stop and think about it and when I sent you a little note about it, I was like, I respect this. I'm not mad. I'm truly not. But on the surface, a little bit, I'm just kind of like, I don't get it. Like, you confuse me. But then I know you, so you don't.
It's okay to be mad, and you are mad. You say you're mad because
your tone are never wrong.
Right.
Like, you can't control your feelings. Feelings are never wrong.
Yeah.
Now, you can flesh it out and say, am I thinking on the right? Sometimes my feelings, I have them and they're my feelings and I own them and I deserve them, but logically maybe they're not put in the best place.
Right.
And I'm not saying yours are like that, but for one, I was a little nervous. They haven't done stand-up comedy at the Opry in years. Secondly, I don't like people coming to like, I would have been happy driving over there by myself, not telling anyone I was doing it, and then coming back today and being like, hey, I did this. It went pretty well. You guys should come next time. Like, that would have been better.
Okay.
I don't accept love very well because I don't give it. I just am not. It's tough for me. I have walls.
I know.
I'm not good at being a human. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you were hurt by it. Like, that's the truth. I promise you, I'm sorry that you were hurt by it.
I just felt like sometimes there's like an exception to your rule of like, not that, I mean, there's like some of the core people in this room, at least like Eddie, Lunchbox, people that have been with you on this journey for a really long time, that would like to see something cool like that and support you. But I get it.
Eddie's been to the Opry. Lunchbox didn't want to go, and there were like 80 people coming, and I just didn't want everybody like.
Well, there's only like five of us on the email, but yeah.
No, but there were other people that got called too.
Oh, okay, well, all I saw was the email, and all I saw was that we were so special.
I'm sorry,
we weren't able to come.
I didn't have that line. I did not write the email. All I did was call and say, "Hey, can we make sure nobody comes?"
So you really didn't know like a week ago that we were all invited to put our names on the list?
I don't know. Okay. I guess it wasn't a thing because I was like, man, I can't believe they're asking me to go do stand-up comedy at the Grand Ole Opry. And then once it started to be a thing, I was like, I don't want anybody there because what if I suck?
Yeah.
And then two, I don't do well with people like enjoying my presence or doing things for me. I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable with it.
Well, maybe we wouldn't have enjoyed it. Would that have made you feel better? Maybe
no, that'd have been worse. That's what I'm saying. Like, it just wasn't a win. I would be happy for you to come the second time because I did it last night and it was good. Okay. I got a little emotional last night. I got up and I told a story about Glen Campbell. And the reason I didn't get emotional so much about Glen Campbell because I only met him once, but I told the story. But for me, Glen Campbell was a thing because of my grandma. Because if you're from Arkansas, you really appreciate other people from Arkansas.
Like, it's like if somebody from your small town goes and makes it in the big time, you're always like, wow. Like, this, you follow them. And my grandma was like, these are the people that we follow. Brooks Robinson, third baseman for the Orioles. Johnny Cash, Conway Twitty, Glenn Campbell. There are these Arkansans that are famous that you just root for because you're from a small state. And so I get up last night and I tell this my Glenn Campbell story, the one. Because I do go up to him and approach him. He's from D-Light, Arkansas. And I'm from Mountain Pine, Arkansas. I tell the story. And I wasn't planning on that being in my act, but I felt like he had passed away, and I never told the story, and I told it. And then, because I was at the Opry, and the reason that I respect the Opry so much is because of my grandmother, and because we would sit and listen to it. And my grandmother raised me. My grandmother adopted me. I have my grandmother tattooed on my arm. Like, she was my mom as much as my mom was. And so I told her favorite joke last night. That I didn't write, and I said, I didn't write this joke, but we used to listen to this on the Opry, and it was a Jerry Clower joke, the one I've told on the air. And I said, comedians don't cover jokes, but if my grandma was looking down at me right now, she would think this was the funniest thing ever. And it was kind of an emotional thing for me, and I don't feel comfortable with emotion like that around, I'm sorry that your feelings were hurt about that, but
I don't want you. It was your special night. It's your decision.
No.
And I know you. The fact that I know you so well, it doesn't surprise me. It went down the way that it did. Just sometimes it's like, will there ever be a turning point where you'll trust, like, hey, I can have these people here for me for important moments?
There will be that time. The second time I do it at the Opry, you're welcome to come.
Cool. Yeah. And that is a cool story about your grandma for sure. Like, that's special.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what. Here's another thing. Like, I've been kind of exhausted. Like, for the past year. Like, I've been doing this show, and I've been touring for about 2 years, one way or the other. And I believe you should kill yourself doing what you love. We're all going to die anyway. You might as well die doing what you love. And I go 100% or none percent. I have two ways in life. Work, vices. I don't even have any vices anymore except work. I don't gamble anymore. Don't do drugs. If I did, if I drank, I'd be the best drinker. But I don't.
That's cool. Like, everything. You go all or nothing.
I do. It's 100% or 9% all the time. And so I kind of hit that point. I tell you, you know what kind of made me emotional was a couple days ago when you were upset about that article that was written about me and the guy saying that I had things given to me. And you got upset about that. And I was thinking of that the night and I was like, I really appreciated you getting upset for me because I didn't let myself get to that point.
Well, yeah, it bothered me.
Right. So I thank you. I appreciate that it bothered you.
You're welcome.
And then you go and break her heart 2 days later.
No, and that's not even the point.
No, I understand. I get it. I understand your complexity. You are not.
I'm glad you do. Holy crap.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just weird sometimes having to force myself as an emotional being. I tend to lean a little more emotional than some other people, to have to process your brain a little bit and understand where you're coming from and respect that.
I'm not perfect or good or...
I know you're not. Me neither.
I'm so...
Jeez, nobody is.
Flawed. More than other... I'm the most messed up person I know. I appreciate the love. I do.
Yeah. Well, just know we were with you. And
we were going, man.
We were.
Did you guys listen last night online?
No.
I didn't know you could. If I had known that, that would have been amazing. I guess I forgot it's a whole radio show.
Yeah. And an app. But yeah.
And an app?
Yeah.
The Opry.
Yeah.
Online streaming. It's crazy.
That Taylor Swift case is going on. It's Taylor Swift and the former radio guy, David Mueller. So she says he grabbed her butt cheek underneath her skirt. He says they inadvertently hit hands. So, go ahead.
Hands or
like
his hands?
Just like randomly hit each other. And he said, you know what? Nobody said anything when it happened. It's a whole thing. I don't know who's right and who's wrong. Like, I really don't know. I don't know the guy. I mean, if anything, I know Taylor better than I know him because I never even met him. But I don't know. I don't have an opinion on who's right or who's wrong because it's a bunch of he said, she said, really. So the attorneys made their opening statements. Taylor's team said that she's serving as a role model to women. He sued her first. She sued him back. He sued for a bunch of money because he didn't have any money. And he's like, it cost me my job. And she's like suing him back as a countersuit for $1. And so he says that they're blaming the wrong guy. And the first witness out of the gate was this dude, this former DJ. He said, "My hand came into contact with a part of Taylor's body. I felt what seemed to be rib cage or ribs." And there's a lot of stuff. And this should not be in my head. The next thing I say should not be in my head. But I look at the shirts that he wears. He wears like these button-ups. It's like Ed Hardy for country. Like on the shoulders, it's like all these flames and stuff.
Okay. What are you thinking?
So you're...
And I'm just thinking...
Based on his shirt.
Based on his shirt, I'm like, that's kind of a D-bag shirt.
So you're basing his personality on the style of clothes.
Not if he did it or not, but right. His personality.
Correct.
Yes.
Man.
I know, it's tough. I'm just being human right now.
No, but everybody does. You look at someone, you're like, that probably is a little weird.
In every picture of him, he looks like Ed Hardy country.
Huh. Do you think that you... They can't use that as, like, Exhibit A.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to you the last seven shirts that he has worn. They're buttoned up with flames on the shoulders.
Everyone's like, oh, my God, really those are terrible.
And I don't know who did it, but I start to lean because of his shirt.
Oh.
And I shouldn't. I'd be a terrible juror. I'd see pictures on the internet and be like, oh, that shirt, that's a terrible shirt. That guy. Has anyone else seen pictures of him about that?
I haven't seen
I never even think
him.
That because I think Ed Hardy's not that bad.
It's not just Ed Hardy. It's just all the design. It's like the cool guy design.
The flames. Yeah. The flames.
Yeah.
Embroidery.
Like, if you're wearing flames, period, stop. If you have to have fire put on you artificially, stop. Yeah. If you have real fire, that's cool. If you have to put fake fire on, that's not.
What about flame tattoos?
And then, you know what? Most guys that have those can beat me up, so I plead the fifth on that one.
Those are lit.
What?
Okay, Amy.
Stop it.
What about jeans with like the bedazzle?
No, that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of thing that shirt's like.
Yeah,
it's like bedazzled stuff on the shirt.
You need to not.
And I'm like, dude. Every picture they put of him, he's wearing the same kind of clothes.
You're right. Like sometimes, if occasionally I am out. And this is so, judging by their clothes. But like, if I happen to be out and I see a guy like 40,
I found
50
a picture of him. Come here.
On the prowl.
In the
he
news.
Normally but has that those jeans. Kind of clothes on.
Yeah, like a it's like a guy.
Oh,
who,
this guy.
And listen,
like,
I'm in a tank top and sweats right now, and Yeezys. To be fair, I'm also, but like, see his shirt? How it's like got all.
Yeah.
Don't you look at him and go, that guy's probably a D-bag.
I mean, I don't think I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. I think, as a girl, I think, oh, man, if I was dating
you think
him.
What?
I was like, I probably had to buy him some new shirts. But I mean, I don't know what that.
And I shouldn't think that. Right. I'd be terrible to her.
I just think he needs new clothes.
Exhibit A. Bring in the clothes from JCPenney.
I feel bad anybody driving to work right now with that shirt on.
They're looking at me like, oh, man.
But I don't know anything, and I'm not right. I'm just saying, when I see pictures of them both, I'm like, I judge based on looks. We all do.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm like,
he's got that
creepy
mustache.
Clothes. It could be mustache. I was talking a minute ago about this Taylor Swift trial, and don't know who did what. Let the court decide. But I'm like, the guy like wears all these flame shirts, and I judge somebody just period. If somebody walks in, they have a tattoo on their face, don't you go, probably not a good decision maker? Like, just generally, like, probably not a good decision maker. And I had this thing with flame shirts. I'm like, oh, okay, probably a little too old to be wearing the fake flames. Not a good decision maker. So it's unfair. But Jody's on in Tulsa. Jody, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir.
What would you like to say?
Well, I just thought it was interesting how you were talking about you were judging this person. And I haven't seen the picture, so I just thought it was interesting because there's actual studies that have been conducted on that, especially in the area of politics. But basically, if someone's face isn't symmetrical, if they're not wearing the right outfit that we think is appropriate for the setting, we judge them in less than 5 seconds before many times them even opening their mouths. We've already made up our minds about who we think they are and what they're about.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair, my judgment, but I was saying every picture I see, the guy's wearing flame shirts or some. I would compare it to 10 years ago, the Hawaiian shirt worn by the 48-year-old man. Mm. And you're like, okay.
Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah, the big loud Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, dang, like a Tommy Bahama?
Like he's trying to just show how he's still like cool with it. And again, look at me. I'm Peter Pan. Hmm. It's not like I'm sitting over here Mr. Style myself. I do at times.
So it's like if you're still wearing that at 50.
A tanky and sweat.
But I'm telling you, I wear this at 37 now at the airport, and I can see people going, that guy's probably a little too old to be wearing that.
There you go.
So I mean, I have.
You get it.
Yeah.
You fall under that category sometimes in your own way.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah.
Like you, for example.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You're trying to stay cool.
What do you mean?
I'm not getting into this.
All right.
Thank you, Bert. Let's go over to Melissa in Morris, Oklahoma. Hey, Melissa.
Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning. What's happening?
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a first-time caller.
Hey!
Yeah. So awesome. I'm shocked. Okay, so I was calling to let you know that I think you guys are awesome. I love your show. It makes my morning commute, which is about 45 minutes to an hour, much more bearable. And I go to work in a much better mood. So thank you guys for that.
Thank you.
The second thing I wanted to say is that I'm 48 years old. I have never been a John Mayer fan. I'm not sure I've ever even heard any of his music. But I was intrigued with your video interview with him yesterday. And let me say, this week I'm going to go out and I'm going to get some of John Mayer music and check it out.
Yeah, I was happy with how people reacted to it. You know, we do things a little different on our show. And John Mayer, not your typical country artist. Not, some would say not country at all. Some would say the song. But I was like, hey, I love him. Makes great music. That's all I care about. And he also is my favorite artist. Him and Garth Brooks are the two, if I could pick, boom, right there. And so he came in, and the interview was really well received. On Monday, the Bobbycast goes up, the hour conversation that I had with John Mayer. So I appreciate the call, and thanks for sharing that with me. And will it wash out in the water? I hope you like In the Blood, and I'm glad you listened to the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and right. Thank you so much for thinking outside the box, because I'm going to get out of my box.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know what?
I appreciate you.
Thanks. You beat me to it. People are beating me to it now. I appreciate you. Man, every time somebody beats me to it, I kind of feel like a loser. Like, that's good. I like it. Like, that's cool. She got me, though. Dang, got again. Gotta give me a flame shirt. Couple things. One, this Donald Trump thing's awesome. Twice a day, he has people bring him a folder of nice things people say about him on the news.
Stop it.
Yeah. Did you not read that story? At like 9:30 and like 4:30 p.m., he has people gather like news clippings and take pictures of things, and then he brings them all the positive stories about him, and he reads them twice a day to make him feel good.
That's like his own "Tell Me Something Good."
For
I
himself.
Like it.
Can we please do this for me? Because I get down sometimes.
We do it every day.
No, but we do it for the listeners.
Like I tell you every day, man, nice shirt today.
You don't ever tell me that, but I mean, like if like they take him tweets and all kinds of stuff. Twice a day.
Okay, let me find some.
Okay, we'll start getting the tweets together.
Wait, twice a day for you?
No, I'm saying that's what he does. Twice a day, he has him go to like cable news sites, websites.
Is that why he doesn't think there's anything negative about him?
Probably.
Really? Okay.
Probably.
What a nut.
I mean, I would love it. What are you talking about? It's a genius. I love that. Kendall Jenner responds to the non-tipping situation. She says she tipped with cash. Here's the problem I have with that. Not that there's a problem with tipping with cash. You're famous. You're not treated the same. You have to be smart enough to know that if you leave a receipt with zero on it, it's going to get put out there. So tip with cash all you want. But the rules aren't the same if you're famous, good or bad. They're not the same. This is not a good excuse.
Well,
but isn't that
don't
a good
you prefer
comeback?
Cash?
Yeah, because then they'd like, have to write it out.
Yeah, you just like put it in your pocket.
This is not about the waiter or bartender.
Oh.
This is about if you're famous,
okay.
You have to know you're famous.
But it is shady of that person if she did tip cash and they got the cash and then they put her on Front Street.
But I don't like care about that person. Nobody does. All people care about is Kendall Jenner.
Dang.
That's what the story's about. If you're famous, everything you do is under a microscope, good and bad. You make lots of money because you're under a microscope. And when you do bad stuff, you're under a microscope. So who knows if you tip cash or not? But you got to know, when that receipt is Kendall L. Jenner and there's a zero on there, that it's probably going to be out there.
So don't tip cash.
No, you just have to handle yourself differently if you're a celebrity.
I know, you
everything's
sure
public.
Right, but we're celebrities, so we have to tip with...
We are not celebrities.
We are.
We are moderately known in regional parts of America. We are not celebrities. Cheetos is opening up a new restaurant with nothing but food made with Cheetos.
Huh.
Yeah, New York City.
mac and cheese, nachos, cheesecake.
Like everything uses Cheetos.
All
Cheetos.
This could
be good. This could be real
good. They have grilled cheese filled with cheese, bacon, tomatoes, and Cheetos.
Wow. Huh.
Mac and cheese made with cheddar and Flamin' Hot Chipotle Ranch Cheeto crust.
Oh.
Yummy.
Oh.
Tacos with chicken, veggies, and Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Disrespectful.
Why? Because it's a taco?
Yeah. Take the Cheetos out of the taco.
Stop.
Next.
Sounds awesome.
Nachos that use Cheetos instead of tortilla chips. Okay. And cheesecake with a Cheeto crust.
Does that sound good to you?
It sounds like I would try it.
Yeah, salty sweet.
Yeah. Like, I don't know that I would hate it, but I might try it. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
I live my life like that.
Yeah,
you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. The Bobby Bones Show. How about those hackers, HBO? This is the new, like, hijacking. It's digital. Like, back in the day, it used to be you get on the airplane, then it was like the pirate ship. You know, the pirates
That's
would take over. Yeah, now it's all digital. So hackers on Monday, they're like, hey, we have all the HBO files, and it's a ransom. And so they stole, and I don't remember, a terabyte, like 1.5 terabytes. And they stole Game of Thrones episodes, and they have, they say, a month's worth of emails from HBO's vice president. And they have all these other shows, they say, we're going to put them all out there for the public. And this is millions of dollars that HBO is going to lose out on because people are going to watch them.
So how are these people going to, well, for one, they're going to have to find a way to start preventing it, so protecting their stuff. Second, how do they set a precedent like, okay, we're not going to pay you for this because you can't just take our stuff?
I don't know.
Do they not negotiate with
terrorists?
Hackers.
Which they are. It's sort of like a...
Well, they're not yet. They're not yet. And listen, if it were me in that, you know, in the spyware, we come up and go, I need $300 or we're going to take over your computer.
Mm-hmm.
I would have just been the wimp that I am, went, here's $300. Don't take my computer.
Yeah, totally.
So, I'm sure, the government's working with them, but they're using the name Mr. Smith. They're demanding millions of dollars in Bitcoin. So, you can't track where it goes.
I was going to say, because it's untraceable. That's smart.
Mr. Robot.
Well, yeah, it's smart. I mean, they just hacked freaking HBO.
Well, that's smart.
That's like,
I know. I understand, but I'm saying, you know, some people do smart things and they make a dumb mistake.
So, this is a crazy story right now. And this is what's going to happen with the government, airplanes, cars. And it's going to take mess ups in order to figure out where they're going in. Like, you always got to find the breach before you can fix it. It's like, that's why you hire people that break into houses, to teach you how to not break into houses.
Right. That's why, like, the people that whenever you lock your keys in your car, man, those people just used to be criminals.
Pop a lock, guys?
Yeah, whatever that's called. You know what I mean? Yeah. You call them.
I don't
think that's
the case. I feel
the
like they've been trained.
Yeah, I feel like they've been trained.
Yeah.
I don't think that. If they came out with a wire hanger, like, hey, you in trouble? And you're like, yeah, I'm a kid. Then we're like, okay,
I'd be
like,
gone.
And then they're like, Venmo me. Then I'm like, okay, that's probably a criminal.
There's a dentist, he treated patients while he was drunk.
Oh, no, that's terrible. Not good.
Nope. A dentist in Pennsylvania worked on patients while drunk.
Dude.
A police staff called to report someone of altered level of consciousness after he had an entire bottle of vodka. Is that a lot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a lot.
The dentist was charged with public drunkenness and reckless endangerment. When they arrived, they found him just wiped, apparently. He worked on 7 patients.
Mm. I mean, that is so... Like, if you're the patient, can't you smell it?
I don't know. I go into the dentist sometimes so scared, and there's so many chemicals and things.
Right.
And maybe I don't.
And
there's alcohol, too.
Yeah. It kind of already smells like alcohol.
Yeah. Like, I don't. I mean, if there's an empty vodka bottle, I'm probably like, oh, that's probably just like a thing.
Mouthwash.
It's like a picture of his favorite. Yeah, I don't know.
Dang. That's a bummer, though.
But yeah, he worked on 7
obviously
people
he's got
drunk.
A problem.
You get home and you have like a spinner tooth, one of those spinners on it.
A fidget spinner
tooth? Yeah, and you're like, don't remember asking for this.
He's
but
creative with everything.
Your dentist is like on Cake Wars. He's making
this.
His own. How about a fidget spinner on your molar?
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
Okay, there's this college professor, and this is sort of crazy. He's at the University of Georgia, and he's letting his students choose their own grades because he wants a stress-free environment. They all have open book testing all the time, and it's just really positive up in there. It's part of his stress reduction policy.
But that class is the hardest class to get into.
Because everyone's trying to get in.
Yeah, like I got to get in Mr. Jones's business class. You know, they're lined up at 4 a.m. to get in that one. Yeah, I good for him. I mean, I don't know that doesn't work.
Yeah, where was this guy when I was in school?
Oh, I didn't have any. Yeah, I'm going to tell you a story. I had a philosophy teacher, Dr. Green. And philosophy just kind of changed my life, like how I thought about things. Again, I come from a very small town in Arkansas. Very limited view of the world outside of what I saw, just with my own eyeballs. And I took philosophy and I studied Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, those three, a lot. And I went to the class. It was super difficult. Maybe the most difficult college class I ever had. And I was angry at him. I was angry because it was so hard and these tests were so difficult. And I wasn't studying philosophy, so why did I care? And so by about four-fifths of the way into the semester, I realized that this man, who I hadn't said three words to socially, just I would just be angry all the time, had really brought a lot into my life at opening my eyeballs to things I had just never experienced or even considered before. And so I said to myself, you know what? This semester ended. I thought about it. I was like, that really changed my life, that class. As soon as the semester's over, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell him how much that his class affected me. And it was very difficult. It was difficult in the way that I learned. I challenged myself, challenged a lot of beliefs that I had. And I believe I should always challenge everything. Even if I stay with what I believe, I love to be challenged. And I went, and he died of cancer that summer. And I was never able to tell him. And I still regret that today, that I was never able to tell Dr. Green how much that class meant to me. And how great of a teacher he was. And I'm telling you, I could not stand him for 80% of the semester. I was like, this is the worst guy, hardest class, worst thing ever. And then when I realized that, no, I was the worst thing ever, and I wanted to let him know, I waited too long. And when I went to tell him, he died. And that sucks. And I'm not trying to say it to bring it down, but it just reminds me that sometimes you just got to say things to people if you're feeling it. That has nothing to do with that story, but that's what story comes to my mind.
Well, it has to do with college professors.
There's the link. But yes. So that's the story.
Dang.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, it got sad. I was like, I thought you were going to have some great.
No, there's no story. There's no joke.
There's a message there.
No, I'm not saying joke. I'm saying I thought it was going to be like, oh, you went to the professor and then you were like, he died. And it's like, oh.
And I regret it. And I hope that I can tell that story and other people will hear that and go, I should not, because I still have regret over that. And
you shouldn't put it off. Like, say it today.
Yeah. Anyway, next up.
Oh, let's talk about Moscow Mules. Anybody drink those here?
Hate them.
Really?
Gross. Is it alcohol?
Disgusting. Yes. And
so no.
My husband loves so many. I even bought him some copper mugs because you drink it out of a copper mug. But now it's coming a report that with the ginger beer, the vodka, and the lime juice, when the lime juice mixes with the copper, it's making people sick.
Mm.
And
copper? Who's eating copper?
Yeah, the mugs are copper. That's traditionally what you serve
a
Moscow
Mule.
That's like
what the Vikings drink stuff out of.
So I bought my husband four of them.
What's it called?
A Moscow Mule.
I'm glad you said that. Speaking of college, that was my nickname at college.
No,
it
wasn't.
Moscow Mule?
The Moscow Mule. Yeah, I thought I was known around the doormats.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Again, Bobby didn't even know what a Moscow Mule was.
I know. He didn't even drink,
so
I don't get it.
Point, guys.
Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
No. Well, anyway, if you've got stomach pain, vomiting, or jaundice while drinking Moscow Mules, you might want to check.
Yeah, to skip the lime.
If you have jaundice, maybe get that checked out.
If your skin's turning yellow, I don't know, I might want to check out your
They'd be like, hey guys, here comes the mule. Be like, here I am.
That's what they would say.
Yeah, like I'm ready to plow.
No, okay. Stop. We're moving on. David Letterman, your hero, he's coming back.
He is my hero.
He's coming back. Well, to Netflix for 6 episodes. He's going to explore deeper topics than he did on The Late Show, and the premiere will be sometime next year.
Yeah, it's 1 hour with one person, like an interview show. So it's not really like a Late Show, but yes.
Yeah.
What happened there?
With?
Is he bored? Was he bored?
Yeah, I think
he needs cash.
No, he didn't want to be Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson disappeared.
After his late show.
Disappeared. And he was like, you know what? He left that. He was happy not doing it. He's like, I don't like the grind anymore. And this is, listen, that's my hero.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think he likes entertaining. Didn't like the schedule anymore. It wasn't fun for him.
And he grew the real long beard because he's like, I had to shave every day of my life.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he's trying to make a statement. He was like, I had to shave every day of my life. And I don't like it. I think he has a lot to say right now with the climate of America. Which, by the way, I have all thoughts on music, too. I think, you know, people are like, oh, I've shifted a bit. I've grown a bit in my thoughts.
Since?
Yesterday.
Oh.
I'm glad you asked.
Good, good.
Because I was thinking about this. I was listening to the radio, right? I was listening to. And that Jordan Davis song, Singles You Up, came on. And it's like, you know, if he ever singles you up. And it was on, and I was enjoying the song. Because, listen, about a month ago, I was like, this is a jam. I brought Jordan in. I was like, this is a jam. And so I was listening to the song, and I was like, you know, I wonder if there are a lot of people hating on this song. Because it's, you know, it's another guy song, like singing about parties and stuff. And I started to think, with everything being so angry right now, I think we need more fun songs now again.
Okay.
I don't care who it's about, boys or girls. But I'm back to the part where it had to be about trucks and tailgates or beer. It can be. I just think now I'm like kind of going country.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
But not just not, you know, not stupid stuff.
Yeah. But not, I was, don't go too stupid.
Yeah, yeah. There's middle stupid. But I do like the fun stuff now, and I found myself listening to this song, smiling, going, it's rare that I'm taking a media and smiling anymore because everything is so angry. And this came on, and I was like,
if he ever singles you up.
And I was like, we need more happy songs. We need more happy, upbeat happy songs. I like slow songs for my own personal life because the slower and sadder the song, the better it makes me feel about myself. But we need more up stuff.
I like that you're thinking that way.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I love happy songs.
I love happy songs, but it's just up. So, you know, people are always like, oh, we need more. And then more sad songs about dirty bars and life sucking. And I'm like, you know, okay, but I'm cool with the hat. Let's keep it upbeat a little bit. I've shifted a bit on that.
All right.
I'm growing. Ask me again on Monday.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Well, that song actually, and you don't know what I'm about to bring up, but that's a perfect segue into my last story. Kate Beckinsale has been singled up. That's who Bobby's obsessed with. And she's been a cougar for a little while because her boyfriend was 21 years old. And evidently, their romance has fizzled.
Yeah, I just don't have a comment on that.
Why?
I have a question for you, though, quickly.
Yeah.
Now that you have a serious girlfriend, like, do you think about Kate Beckinsale ever? like, you know what I mean?
What,
like,
are you trying to do to him right now?
No, I'm just asking a serious question.
I don't really know.
Okay. So that's kind of gone, that whole Kate Beckinsale thing.
It's like a virus, right? It'll never fully be gone. Like, if you get a wart, right?
Who loves Kate?
Oh, like a wart.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale's like my wart.
Ah, good example.
Like, I don't have a wart right now. Wart's gone.
But it could come back.
But
it's a virus.
It's a virus, and it can never come back.
Gosh, great answer.
Mm, okay.
But right now, it's gone.
But much like a wart, it can come back.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, makes sense.
I don't want to jinx myself, but I've never had a wart.
Oh, I thought you just ever? Said you'd had a wart.
No, like in life. I've had a lot of life
that
warts.
Was a metaphor, Amy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, warts.
See, John Mayer and I are a lot alike. Our metaphor
is
often.
No one gets that.
Yeah, so deep.
Oh, now you're going to be a smart aleck, huh? All right, I see you over there.
Bobby Bones Show.
All right, rap for today. Amy, what's happening?
Rap City Trick. Workout today with a girlfriend. What?
You go right to a hip-hop song from 10 years ago, the edited version. Yeah.
What is the real version?
Rap City Trick rap. It's not trick, they say.
Yeah.
Oh, I only buy...
edited versions?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have any...
No E's?
No explicit stuff in my iTunes.
So what are you doing again?
Oh, I'm meeting your girlfriend for a workout. Well, she comes over to my house to work out. And then I'm test baking some stuff for a Cooking with Amy thing. And then I started reading a book last night, so I'm going to finish reading that. Or
what
not
book, what book
it.
Is it?
Of Mess and Moxie. I put it on my blog, too, so people can check it out.
BobbyBones.com. Also, check out Amy's mint chocolate chip smoothie.
Yeah.
It sounds great, but not really.
What are you doing today?
I will be boxing. I have meetings up here in the building until like 12:30 or so. Some people from New York coming to town.
Oh,
I got a call about the TV show that I'm probably going to be doing today. Stuff. You know, living life.
Yeah.
Tired.
Baller. Meetings? Are you wearing those sweatpants to your meetings?
Yeah, I'm out. Like, I've given up.
Okay.
I'm in a tanky and a sweat and sweats.
I like that tanky.
And it's a stegosaurus, dude.
Yeah, I see it.
Yes. In case you're wondering, that's a stegosaurus.
It's an old dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave up. I was at the Opry. I didn't get off stage until late last night, and then I slept about 2 hours, came into work, and was like, I give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to meetings today.
We all get to that.
Yeah.
Sometimes in our life.
Thank you for listening today. Hope Wednesday's awesome. We'll see you Thursday. That's tomorrow. Appreciate you being here, as always. Hanging out with Bobby Bones.